This is the Bike Tourist Podcast, Intershow number 3. My name is Gabriel. In this edition, we have some information we would like to share, as well as the audio from our visit to the Hockey Museum at the Sky City Cultural Center in New Mexico. The first thing we would like to share is that the Tour of Life, a 68 miles bike ride, which has been taking place for a couple years now in the city of Guaynabo, Puerto Rico, has been canceled for 2007. The tour was a way to raise funds to help in the research and treatment of catastrophic diseases, and it was being organized by Bristol Myers Squibb. No clear reasons were given for the cancellation, which has led to a little speculation that the cancellation could be related to the state of pro cycling world, which has nothing to do with this kind of fundraising activities, but it affects cycling image in general, proponents said. On my part, I don't think this was the reason, but it would be good that Bristol Myers Squibb explain a little more about the decision and put the matter to rest. I was planning to ride the tour, but I guess I have to look elsewhere for a group ride, or better yet, go on a little tour around the island. But if you would like a bike race that is different, you should take a look at the Tour of Acoma, which is going to be held at Sky City, New Mexico on September 23, 2007. It is a 25, 50, and 100-mile bike race which will cover the Acoma and Laguna Native American pueblos. I rode part of the route during the Tour of the Nations, and I can tell you that even if you don't like to be part of races, the surrounding vistas alone are well worth participating. And then if you take it at your own pace. If you go, please take plenty of water with you and don't forget your sunscreen. New Mexico is very dry and the sun really shines. Now let's go on with the visit to the Hockey Museum, which is located at the Sky City Cultural Center. As we mentioned on show number 19, the Hockey Museum houses a beautiful collection of both ancient and modern examples of Acoma's art, and from time to time it holds examples from other Native American cultures. Let's start this audio tour with the introduction of our guide.
Bike Tourist Podcast.
Okay, good morning. My name is Gabriel from the Bike Tourist Podcast, and here we have
Melvin Winico.
What's the work you do here at the museum?
I am the security surveillance manager here at this Sky City Cultural Center.
Yeah, I'm really I give you thanks for receiving us here. So, tell us about this facility and what you have to offer to the public.
Sure. The Sky City Culture Center, the building that we're in right now, has been in operation for about a year and 6 months total. It's a new building offers a cafe with exquisite food, and we have a gift shop as well with all kinds of nice gifts, for the family and even just for the individual, with a lot of crafts from individual Acoma artists. We also have a museum that has, at this time, the main exhibit featuring the matriarchs, which is pottery, pottery making from people from the past. And also we have a orientation room that also features a 20-minute video clip of Acoma itself. And, of course, we have the guided tours that we take visitors to the Mesa Top. So we have a lot to offer here for the visitors.
Okay, thank you. When we entered the museum, we were greeted by Native American background music, and our host started to talk about the current artifact in the exhibit.
She's the only one that's still around today. The rest have passed on, but because of their members' designs, the old designs. Basically, is what was the first initial Acoma artist designed before there was more of the contemporary designs. Yes. What was he asking for? Four ladies that are out there. These are their work as well. So we have Lucy Lewis, who also has her signature here. One of her old wedding vases that she created years ago. And then we have Juan Alino, who has a flower vase here that she created. And if you notice, all the designs are those of the old members' designs that were created years ago, even before the early 1600s as well. Jessie Garcia, who is still alive today. This is one of her designs as well. And then Marie Zichino, who is also considered a well-known pottery artist as well. So again, you have the different artists from years past that were identified, that were recognized throughout time. Of course, there were other artists as well that maybe weren't as fully recognized as these ones were, but even at that. Again, you notice a lot of the work.
Yeah, this is beautiful.
Isn't it? Especially you've got the different animal figurines. You've got like the deer, the lizards, the rabbit, the turkeys, the fish. There's the turtle symbol, and a little bug of some sort. So again, there was all different types of animals and insects that they create.
I hear that the turtle is a symbol of Acoma people?
A turtle for us really represents long life, you know, because again, you know, a turtle lives for a long time, so that's one of the symbols that we have. Of course, the deer, of course, being an important source of life and nourishment. You know, we hunt deer for food, and then the hide to tan, to make shoes, to make moccasins, yes. The turkey we use for not only the meat, but the feathers as well. Yeah, so there's pretty much all the game that we hunt for. There's always a use for them in some way or another.
This is great.
Yes. So as we continue on, you'll notice all the different styles. Even just the shapes themselves, you notice this. We call that the water jug over there. That symbolizes that back in the olden days and even up until now, the men only carry those or only given those as gifts. And you can pour water into those. And what used to happen and still what can happen is basically when they go to the planting fields to plant. And the story goes that even when they were living up on the Mesa Top years ago and still do today, they would walk to the fields because there was no vehicles at that time in the early days. So they would put water in there. So as they would get thirsty, they would drink water.
Similar to a canteen.
Exactly, a canteen, exactly. So again, there's reasons for different shapes of the different pots. But some just become more of a stylish thing. Now you see a cup, that's not too common. You see a drinking cup to drink out of, yes. Uh-huh. Over here we have owls. Not too many of the Acoma artists make owls anymore as they did in the olden days.
What do the owls mean to the Acoma people?
The owls represent, of course, they come at nighttime, you know, so there's, you know, just having that vision of like being, you know, being around or being alert at night, if anything, if you will. Yes, so the owl is not really too much of major significance really to us. Let's say the turkey and the eagle. But
it's more like a sense of awareness.
Yes, it is, exactly. As I mentioned earlier, we have the turkey, which is one of our clans that we have. We have a total of 13 clans, actually down to 12, because one of the clans, being the Mustard Seed Clan, there is no tribal member that belongs to that clan anymore. They pretty much have all just have diminished from the clans altogether. Eagle, we have Eagle Clan as well. So those are the symbolisms that we have. Here we have a combination of both the old traditional pottery as more of the more modern days, such as this one here. That's more of a modern, up-to-date pottery, if you will.
Those shapes in the pottery symbolize that star.
Yes, exactly. Those ones in there? Yes, the design. Like a star shape, exactly, yes. You see like fine line. The fine line rain represents rain, I should say. Mm. Again, if you see little dots, like see those little dots, those also represent rain. The orange color on the pots represent the sun. The dark shaded areas represent either clouds or mountains. And then the whole whiteness of the pot represents Mother Earth, meaning that's made from the natural earth and clay.
So basically it's like in one place you get a concentrate of everything.
Everything all together, exactly.
Yeah, right. It's pretty beautiful.
Yeah. And then again, this is something a little different, just being a little bit more creative with the style, you know.
The circles represent like some kind of infinity?
Well, what they call that, like the circle of life, you know, or the circle, you know, you have just the life going constantly in the circle. Again, you know, just like the sun, how it rotates around the earth, the same pattern as well as we are in life. We live a continuous life, again, just doing basically a lot of the daily livelihood that we live. You know, we do things for a reason, and it's not just done one time, it's done over and over and throughout the seasons all together. Yes. If you look at some of these ones, I mean, much older, this is a really old pottery, if you see on some of these ones here. Of course, these ones here are more modern day made, if you can tell. And you can kind of distinguish by the color, by the texture, just by the wear of the designs. I mean, you can tell that they've been used and made years ago. Just the texture.
They had their practical use.
Exactly, exactly. So again, just different styles, different patterns. These again are more of the old geometric style. There's no, you know, really fancy design. They're pretty much just the old style that were used with the different, you know, geometric patterns all together.
Yeah, these shapes are different than the other pots.
They are, yes. They are differently. And just depending on the artists themselves too. Some of the artists will just have a different feel just of the shape.
Kind of signature.
Exactly, exactly.
This one looks like a pretty old one.
It does. And in most cases, and we'll see a display over there, but in most cases, but even in the olden days, of course, there were no paintbrushes, modern paintbrushes. So they made their own paintbrushes from the yucca plant. Ooh. They would cut a little section off of the yucca plant itself, and they would get to the inside fibers. So depending on how thin or how thick they would want their lines, or even just to fill in the brown or the orange color.
I was wondering how they make so fine
lines.
Yes,
and we'll see a display of that over here, of the different ingredients that are involved in there. Yes. So again, as you can identify, different shapes, and again, just different design patterns altogether. Here's a different one that you don't see too common anymore. It's the Thunderbird, the two-headed Thunderbird. So even like on that wedding vase, you see the one with the hand on the two spouts. Back in the olden days, even today, when a couple was to get married, the husband would drink from one end of the open end, and then the spouse would drink from the other end as part of their wedding ceremony.
Oh, that's cute.
So that's, and even today, we still use those as wedding vases for ceremony.
Do you still people celebrate traditional kind of weddings, or it has changed somewhat?
Well, pretty much now, if it's really part of our religion, as far as Catholicism, getting married in the Catholic Church. But again, traditionally, before that even happens, the two families will get together and just give their blessings, if you will, to say that, yes, we approve that these two will get married together. So that's really the only part that we say are considered to be traditional. Of course, back in the olden days, years before there was even the Catholic practice, so there was no church established, so they were married what they consider traditional. But because we have the Catholic Church, especially up at Oklahoma, that is just part of our tradition to say that to be officially married, yes, you will get married in the Catholic Church. Okay. Again, just different shapes altogether. Even some that's more bigger size, as you see that one there. And you notice some of them do identify that they don't know who actually made them. They're unsigned, so there's no signature on any of them. So a lot of times, some of the artists didn't want to be probably recognized for their work, so they would just make them and not sign them all together.
Looks to me that he's representing wind. Yeah.
This one here represents actually the four directions. Yes, if you look, you know, you've got north, west, south, and east. That's what that represents all together. And just the different seasons as well. You got the different seasons, of course. You've got winter, spring, fall, I should say winter, spring, summer, and fall. Yes. So those also, those little symbols that kind of go kind of like zigzag, those represent lightning. Lightning
Ooh.
Symbols, yes. Right. And you see more of those ones right there, but much smaller, yes.
This is especially beautiful. This design is so intricate.
Intricate, yes. And also the shape, these privacy, and several of them are like that with the little opening. We call those seed jars. And back in the olden days, they probably made them even with the hole a little bit bigger, enough to store seeds in there. And they would put a corn cob, a dry corn cob, to keep the seeds nice and cool in there. And sort of insects or bugs won't get in there. So when it came to planting season, they would take the corn cob out, take the seeds out, and they would plant them. Yes. So that's the reason why they call them seed jars. But today, of course, there are a lot of times they're just made for show.
Yes.
A candle holder. You have a candle holder right here. Again, there was candles that were made years and years ago before there was even kerosene lantern introduced to the people. So that was their source of lighting at night, yes.
The candles came from the Spaniards? Or?
Yes, yes. Of course, there was a lot of travelers that came through. A lot of times, and I think we may have missed a picture, but further down to the north, of course, there's the railroad tracks. The railroad tracks there, we would have the visitors that would come through there. There would be stations set up here and there. Acoma artists, the pottery people, would actually take their work down there, and they would either trade, like for candles, or trade for goods, other goods as well. So there was a lot of that. Or the people would purchase the pottery from the Acoma artists. The other design that you see a lot of common on the pots, is which is kind of holds traditional to the Acoma people, is the parrot. The parrot design. There's a story behind that with the parrot. I'm not too familiar with it, but that the parrot is also one of our clans that we have on the Acoma Indian reservations. Okay. The parrot clan, yes. Okay. Here you see the different the color pigments that are used. You see like the orange or the yellow. That comes from these ones here. Actually, this will bake on, once it's been fired, it'll bake on orange. And this one bake on like a dark red. Those little stones that you see in there are the actual color that they get off of those stones for the black or the brownish color. You also notice that you'll see the yucca plant brushes in there that they have made to design. And there's two of them that have already been.
They're really fine.
Yes. So all that combined is how the designs are put onto the pot. This is the last stage, is the firing. Of course, this is how they were done in the olden days. It was an open pit. And basically, they would put iron grids or even pottery shards as such on the bottom to hold the raw pieces. See, again, these were made all out of earthen ingredients, the clay, the color pigments. So in order to get a good piece like that fired, they would put them in an open pit, cover them, and then put dry cow manure over the whole thing. And then with the chips, wood chips, and then they will light, and then it'll burn, the fire will burn. And then this was put over to protect the pots underneath that were gonna be fire or baked, so they won't burn or burnish. But that wasn't always the case most of the time. Sometimes some of the pots, and you'll see them, some of the old pots, that they did get burnished during the firing. So once the fire cooled down, they will clean off all the fire, take out the pots, and you will have your product as you see today. But today, really, if anything, a lot of people are using the electric kiln because there's so much detail work that goes into it a lot. Yeah.
It's more controlled too.
Yes, it is. A more controlled temperature as far as the heating, exactly. This here is a different type of clay that has been used. It's red clay, actually. And it's only found in certain locations on around the reservation here. So it's just another means of clay that they have used in the past as well. Again, there you've got one that's more modern day with the geckos up there. So it's really interesting how people come up with creative designs.
Gecko is some kind of a lizard? Or?
It's a lizard, yes. Yes, it is a lizard. It is. It is. Over here, again, you see a pot that's still a raw piece. It's still in the making, or was in the making. A lot of times, some of the artists will just do pure white, as you see over here, and we call those like the pinch pots or coil method. This is a demonstration here of an artist coil method. They would roll it into rows and they would just keep adding on, building up like that. And then again, some of them, instead of designing them, they would just basically with a stick or even with any type of tool and just kind of pinch it all the way around. And that was just another means of how artists back in the olden days and even up to today, such as Jackie Shatiba, she still makes those same pattern pottery today. This is a symbolism of also just the coil that is just seen in the demo without anything being, you know, engraved or pinched into the pot. It was just layered up all the way.
Well, basically, they built like a snake.
Exactly.
All the way,
right.
all the way up to the top.
Yes,
wow.
Sir. So that was just our different, you know, styles, different patterns, just basically how the artist felt they wanted to create a pottery.
It's really, really amazing how they, especially in this kind of pottery,
exactly.
how they keep it from collapsing.
Exactly. Yeah, there's so much involved in it. It's not really all that easy. You see a lot of pottery that's contemporary. When I say contemporary, that means more that's a clay that was man-made already, out of liquid and whatever other ingredients are involved. But this one, we mine our own clay at a certain location. We have to process it down, break it down, and then, of course, sift it, soak it, what have you. So it's a long process altogether.
Yeah. A lot of work.
Yes, it is. So even this by itself, the museum, is its own entity from the cultural center. Pretty much this is considered more of a non-profit facility in this room itself, as opposed to the rest of the facility. We're for profit because we're a business making money.
Yeah. So people have to leave.
Exactly. If you notice, the rock walls symbolize back in, of course, in the olden days, and you'll get to see that on the mesa top. Some of the houses are still structured with the original rock.
Yeah, I've seen that on our way here.
And some of them are made with are built with adobe as well. But unfortunately, we never did establish a housing code in the past, even up to date. So unfortunately, some of our houses are built with cinder block, and you'll see that. Or stucco with modern day stucco. Back in the olden days, there was no such thing as stucco, so they were plastered with mud and straw. This here you see is actually a simulation of the mica glass. You'll see in one part of the tour.
Yeah, I was going to ask you.
And that's what this symbolizes. Is, of course, back in the olden days, before glass was even introduced to us, there was the mica, and they could find them in sheets. So basically, that was their source of light into the building. And you'll get to see one particular building that still stands today that has the mica glass. Not very big, just kind of small in there. What we offer to the visitor as well is we have an orientation room in here. It's about a 20 to 25 minute clip, and it's just a brief orientation of how Acoma came about, back to that, where supposedly maybe the ancestors came from. From the northwest, if anything, from Mesa Verde or Chaco Canyon area. Then it identifies, you know, about the business enterprises, about Acoma in general altogether. But you will get a lot of good information from the tour guides when you go on tour, basically the history of Acoma altogether. So that's basically what we have on that end. We can continue on down on this side. How they're identified, just different. And we use these for visitors. The visitors have something, items, that personal items they want to store. We can put them in there.
This woodwork is
beautiful. If you notice the walls, white. If you wipe them, it's kind of... The reason we do that is because back in the olden days, before there was even paint, they used a white sandstone dirt to
plaster
the walls, and because it also brought in more brightness to the room. Because again, as I mentioned about the mica glass, there wasn't really enough light coming in with just that. So with white walls, that always helped at least bring out the color. The brown shade also is another natural earthing color that was put on the walls as well.
You know, the mica concept of using this concept for getting light in, it's quite advanced.
Isn't it? Yes, it is. It really is. It's interesting because even like, you know, when you have a family home and you notice these things, and it's like basically, wow, there's a reason behind all that altogether. You know, it wasn't just there. I'm sure our ancestors or even our grandparents, they went out and they explored and it says, hey, this will be a good source of, you know, color or texture for our homes as well. You notice this here. This is kind of what, if you go like to Mesa Verde, to the Aztec ruins, you'll see this type of formation built into the walls. So again, if you look, started from there all the way down that way to the very end to kind of symbolize how those of our ancestors, how they built their houses. So we wanted to include that as well to identify how our ancestors built their homes and to clearly identify that we were also thinking about our ancestors, thinking about the present, and then thinking about the future. What is our future going to be? You know, how are our younger generation going to build our homes today? So
I firmly believe that the future is firmly based in the past. Exactly. You cannot disconnect one from another.
Right, exactly, yeah. We can go in here to the cafe. We call this the Yaka Cafe. Yaka meaning corn. Yaka Cafe, yes. And you see this is a bronze that was done by Robert Esteban.
You know that this is surprised me because our people, the long lost Taino people, which I descend from, we call it that same way.
Oh, really?
The corn.
Oh, that's interesting. What a coincidence.
2,000 miles away.
Yeah. All the goods are all done here on site. We have one individual that does most of the baking. You have a lot of the baked goods here. Then again, we have the cafe itself that features very, very fine, exquisite food. I'll show you a menu that we have there. Style foods that we have. And some of them even are named as such, like the Yaka Burger, of course. Mm. Sky City Burger, of course. Enchanted Mesa Burger, back over on this side to the east. Enchanted Mesa was considered to be the first site where the Acoma people had settled at. And because they felt that it wasn't the exact location that the Acoma people were to eventually settle at, they finally identified as this being the place to be. So Lonesome Rock, you see that you're going further before you go up to the Mesa Top. So there's just a lot, you know, the tacos, just the different types of food.
This is an amazing combination.
Yes, and you can take that with you as well, yes. Such as a painting here, and you'll see that throughout the building. We try to include a lot of our own Acoma people that are very artistic with different styles. And we include them as part of our display as well. Yes. If you notice just the designs of everything, the chairs, the tables, the flooring. The flooring, we try to make it look like that of earthen dirt. You know, of course, back then.
And I noticed the placement of is to, instead of showing the square, it's showing the diamond.
Exactly. The diamond shape, the patterns as well.
And the fireplace, lovely.
Then we have we use that during the winter times. It's you know, done with propane fuel is how it's operated with, but just the whole style and atmosphere that again a lot of the homes as well back in the days.
I come from a tropical area, but do this area gets cold in winter?
It can get cold. The winters as far as snow have been minimal. We haven't really had wet winter days, but. This past winter was a little bit better than the past, so hopefully we will, because then that also helps with the moisture for the land, especially when it comes to springtime for planting. We'll go out and take a look at that orno outside of the way, as we also identify as the red of them as well. These columns as well, they also have the symbolism of the corn. Corn, that's how it is identified, all these beams as well. Again, just different design patterns on the top. Together, I mentioned earlier about the four directions. You see those as well. Just in here, they'll clean the ashes out. They'll use a stick such as that with a cloth, and they put all the ashes out and they'll gather them right there. And then basically, it's just like this, but it's just pretty hot, pretty intense heat. Then they'll start slipping the bread in there. They'll use this
So basically, they heated the surf, the interior, and yes. then remove the ashes. And since it was very very hot, and then yes. put the bread
then
in.
Then they'll have a table of bread, and they'll put the pan on here with the bread, put them in there, and slide them off. And that's for each one. And then they cover it up, and then it's probably, I would say, at least almost half an hour to 45 minutes baking time. You just have to keep looking. Yeah, and then how you can tell is on the top of the bread, you'll see that it's gotten like, you know, brown or golden brownish color. And then it's time to take them out. So then you slip them back out thereafter. Interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Again, just if you look on the very top of the building there, and we'll kind of walk around that and we'll see more. Just see there's two pottery that are back in the olden days before even stovepipes were introduced or even made. That's how they made stovepipes. So they will make big pots and they will cut the opening on the bottoms and stack them. So when they will build fire, the smoke will go straight up instead of kind of backdrafting. Exactly. So that's what that symbolizes as well.
As you could listen, we also went to the Jaca Cafe, and we went to the outside of the Sky City Cultural Center, where there are some structures and other Acomas traditional instruments and utilities. All in all, this was a very intense learning experience. If you ever come to Acoma, Pueblo, make sure you visit the Sky City Cultural Center. As a visitor and a bike tourist, you should always try to learn about the places you visit. And the Native American reservations have a lot to offer to the visitor. And there is no better way to experience it than in a bike tour. So, if you live near or it's possible for you to reach New Mexico, do yourself a favor and plan a bicycle tour to these regions. I hope you have enjoyed this experience as much as I have. Remember that we still have a couple more chapters about the Tour of the Nations, and the next one is a really interesting one. You will find out about the places we visit, the people we met, and the incredible things we saw on the road to the ice caves. See you next time.